We're going to call to order the Judiciary Finance and Policy Committee. Today is Tuesday, April 2nd. We do have a quorum. Representative Scott, would you be willing to move the minutes?
Yes, Madam Chair, so moved.
Representative Scott moves the minutes of March 20th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. All right, members, we have two bills on the agenda. We are not going to be voting on either one of these. We're simply going to be laying them over for possible inclusion. I believe the meeting will be short. Immediately following the meeting, the DFL members of the Judiciary Committee will be meeting, and then when that's finished, I'll be meeting with the GOP members of the Judiciary Committee. Hopefully tonight, after we have some discussions, the spreadsheet and omnibus bill will be released. We'll be doing a walkthrough tomorrow in committee, and then amendments will be due on Monday, and then we will vote on the bill on Tuesday in committee. Any questions from members? All right. Representative Belay is here. So Representative Bly moves that House File 873 to be before the committee for possible inclusion in the Judiciary Policy and Finance Committee. Representative Bly.
Thank you. I have with me County Attorney who will talk a little bit about the program and how it's worked. This was brought to me by Judge Neville, who's a former state senator, and said that they have a mediation program there that's been working very well, but they are having trouble finding the funds to keep it going. And so what I'm asking for is the ability to raise some money to help make sure this program continues. So I'd invite my testifier to talk a little bit about the program and why it's important to Rice County.
Thank you. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Paul Bowmaster, I'm the Rice County attorney, and I'm also a board member for the Rice County Mediation Center. And I'm just here to ask for your support in the funding of a pilot project which would provide a surcharge fee on filings in misdemeanor cases and in civil cases to fund mediation. Our mediation program has been in existence for approximately 15 years. And we've had difficulty finding funding. We work on a sliding scale fee. Some parties can pay, some can't. Our law enforcement community and our family law community find it very helpful. It's designed to bring the parties to a win-win for both sides. We use them in the neighbor dog barking cases to try to mediate and try to come to a resolution on how we're going to deal with a neighborhood issue. We use them in family law cases, and how do we come to the best resolution for dealing with assets and also children. As a policy, the legislature has said this is an important concept, and the courts have, and we mandate parties in family law to mediate. The problem is we don't always fund those mandates, and we're asking to be a pilot project where we could find funding through a surcharge. That would hopefully, I think the total amount here we're talking about is approximately $20,000. It's not a large surcharge that would be added to those filings. It's anticipated that would be enough to fund those who truly are unable to pay for those services. And I'd stand for any questions about the program or our status as we stand now is we are funded by grants from our local communities and donations from local businesses and individuals.
Questions from members? Representative Droskowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just curious. We've got a surcharge in the bill. Shouldn't this go to taxes?
Representative Droskowski, we're going to not vote on the bill. We're just going to lay it over, but we wanted to hear about the program and the initiative that's going on. So.
Okay.
We're not going to vote on it.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Why is this Rice County only, or how did Rice County get chosen for the pilot?
We're one of the few counties that have it, Madam Chair. Representative, we're one of the few counties that actually have a program. Many counties don't have a program, and they have to find attorneys that are certified mediators or that have been trained in mediation, and that they're paying as they go, whatever the attorney rate is. We work on a sliding scale fee that is assessed based on income.
Representative Scott?
Madam Chair, I'm just wondering, the state court administrators and I guess I see Mr. Shorm up here. I'm just wondering what his thoughts are on this, and if I guess I'm confused still on why just Rice County, and is this something that the state has taken up to try to fund? Why not state funding? Does the state fund any other of these ADR programs?
Madam Chair, Representative, I can tell you that we do receive some grant funding from the state, and the state courts have been a beneficiary from our mediation program in that they come every, I think it's Tuesday or Monday in Rice County, we have mediation available for the small claims court, conciliation court, and I think our courts have found it very helpful in resolving those cases so they don't have to have those hearings. Typically, what they will do is schedule them the week before they're going to be heard by the court to come in. They do the mediation at the courthouse. Those cases, if they resolve, are taken off the calendar for that next week. So it is a benefit to the state court system to have mediation. And again, I think as a policy, the legislature and the courts have recognized that mediation is a good way to unclog our court system and hopefully resolve cases in a way where both parties feel that they've been treated justly, and that it's a win-win for both sides, that they've come to their own resolution.
Representative Blatt. Oh, Representative Scott, did you have another question?
I do. Okay. That's all right, Madam Chair.
Yes,
thank you.
Follow up, Representative Scott.
I'm still, I guess, a little bit confused because, you know, I think mediation is a good thing. But I just figured, I just thought that this was kind of done from the state level so that they would have kind of some control over continuity between counties and those sorts of things. But are you telling me this is all individual county by county or court district by court district run?
Mr. Bowmaster.
Madam Chair, Representative, there are certainly mediation standards and training that are uniform throughout the state. As far as how those services are delivered, though, I think you would find 87 different ways to do it in each county. I don't know that there's ever been a effort to standardize or make one delivery system for mediation throughout the state. I'm not aware of that.
Right. Representative Bly.
I might just add that in previous sessions, there was another bill partnered with the county of Kandi, Ohio, and tried to introduce this idea then. It didn't make it through the deadline before. We're trying again. Kandi, Ohio elected not to join us in this effort this time. But, you know, that's one of the reasons we're calling it a pilot. Perhaps other counties would look at this as a model and could see that they could make this work in their own counties as well. So our hope is that we can move forward with a really successful program that I think has been run very efficiently and has worked well for our county.
Representative Lesh.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm wondering if Mr. Bowmaster, I guess maybe you'd probably want to answer this question. How was the existing program funded?
Mr. Bowmaster.
Madam Chair, Representative, we, as I said, receive donations. We get a grant each year from the state courts. Local communities, such as our cities and county, will contribute money. They have, in recent years, less and less been contributing because of budgetary cutbacks, and tight budgets mean those things that are non-mandatory sometimes are done away with or reduced substantially. And that's where we find ourselves now, is that we have lost a large percentage of our funding and are having a more difficult time getting private donations to fund this. And you know that at the sliding scale fee, even most of our mediators are volunteers. Our executive director works for nothing other than mileage. so we do it on a shoestring, and we'd like to give it some firmer foundation, and this is why we wanted a pilot project to see if we can at least establish a foundation for funding that would allow it to keep going forward and continue the services in Rice County.
Well, Madam Chair, thank you for that, Mr. Bowmaster, and thank you for in the wake of decreased funding sources for finding a legitimate way to try to fund it rather than gang strike force try to do it through seizures and forfeitures. But because a lot of people are experiencing these same issues, but in my experience in judicial districts, a lot of these programs, its success or failure is predicated on personalities in the different counties. If you've got a judge that's really pushing it and you've got legitimate resolutions coming out of these agreements that either can be memorialized through an adjudication or what have you, that makes the biggest difference. So, and you said that you were funded previously partially from the funds from the state courts, and maybe this is a casualty of the state takeover of individual county district courts, but why wouldn't, if this is a program that really worked and unclogged the judiciary, why wouldn't the judiciary be more willing to give more money to it to expand it if it's going to benefit them?
Mr. Bowmaster?
Madam Chair, I didn't mean to infer that they're not funding. We still receive a grant. I don't know how much exactly that is. I think it's approximately $5,000 a year from the state courts, and that I think did get reduced just because of budget reductions in general. I don't know that we received any more of a reduction or less than anybody else. I think the question of whether or not they're funding it isn't that they think it's a bad idea. It's just they don't have the funding mechanism. It's the legislature that sets that. And as you said, this is a straightforward way to fund a specific project. And if it worked, it would certainly be something that other counties, other jurisdictions could look at doing with the same type of funding. And I think, as I said, it's a fairly modest per capita fund that we're looking at. And again, it's the build is a steady base funding rather than the whims of, you know, whether or not the local budgets could afford to give us funding or not, or if we can do enough corporate fundraising or individual fundraising to fund the base level of services.
We have questions from Representative Moline and Representative Johnson, and I want to make sure that we let anyone in the audience that might want to testify in opposition to do that as well. So, Representative Moline.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and to the testifier. I was just wondering if you could explain to me the difference between this and really neutral evaluation, because I thought that that's what a lot of judicial districts were going to, at least in my area. And then there's sort of a sliding scale fee, I guess, if there are minor children involved or not. So, for example, your fee to participate in just a financial E&E would be lower than your fee to participate in a social E&E where there were minor children involved in the divorce. And, you know, sometimes the fee is waived if people don't have the ability to pay. So I'm wondering how this differs from early neutral evaluation, and then whether or not if the participants are asked to pay based on their ability to pay.
Mr. Bowmaster?
Madam Chair, Representative, yes, they do pay, and it is on a sliding scale fee that depends on if they have income or not. And this program basically provides services to low-income people. The conciliation court services oftentimes will be between a landlord and a low-income tenant. So it varies on what they're doing as far as if it's the family court or conciliation court. Or sometimes in a quasi-criminal setting where we have property line disputes or that law enforcement's called into, where they'll refer them to the mediation services to try to resolve those disputes so we aren't getting those calls out. So it depends on what the services that are being offered are and in what jurisdiction as far as what would apply for the fee and what services would be provided.
Okay. Representative Johnson.
Madam Chair, Mr. Bowmaster, it's nice to see you again. It's been a few years since you left Isani County.
I see you.
Question I have is, This, you're dealing with civil court in the mediation process. Is there a reason that you want I noticed in the bill you had a surcharge also on misdemeanors and petty misdemeanors in the criminal side of it. There's a reason. What is the reason you want to divide, pull both sides of the court together?
Mr. Bowmaster.
Madam Chair, Representative Johnson, we do use it in the criminal arena. As I said, law enforcement has the mediation handouts to give the parties when they're called, as I'm sure you recall, you haven't been that long retired, there are times when you're called out to disputes between neighbors or disputes in neighborhoods, and we use this as a mechanism to try to diffuse that, and the officers can give them that information and say, call this number, they'll sit down with you and they'll work it out, because we don't want to be arresting anyone. We don't want to be writing, you know, disorderly conduct tickets. So it's a way of trying to bring some harmony to a neighborhood rather than just saying, all right, we got him on disorderly this time. And it's been very successful for our law enforcement jurisdictions in Northfield, Faribault, and the county.
Questions? Representative Johnson.
Just a little bit of a comment here. I know a lot of counties and cities have got away from the regular court citation. They started doing administrative tickets, just because the cost was the surcharges were so high. In fact, by statute, the seatbelt ticket is only $25, but with all the surcharges, it's pushing $130. It's over $100 in surcharges now. You want to increase that. It's getting to the point now where a lot of officers are refusing to write citations because the surcharges are just getting outrageous.
All right. Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to testify for or against this bill? Representative Scott?
Madam Chair, I'm just wondering if we could hear from the state courts from Mr. Shorba.
You'd like to come down and testify? Welcome to the committee. State your name for the record and go ahead.
My name is Jeff Shorba. I'm the state court administrator. I'm open to any questions the committee might have.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is this program in any way duplicative of what is done already in counties from your perspective?
Mr. Shorba.
Representative Scott, Madam Chair. Just a couple clarifications. The way that this program is funded, at least with the money that comes from the State Court Administrator's office, is through an appropriation that was made a number of years ago by the legislature to our office. It's a pass-through grant. It's approximately about $100,000 over the biennium. We give that money out to a number of these local county organizations. It's not a huge amount of money. It was cut back by the legislature a few biennium ago due to budget cuts. As Representative Moline said, there may be some duplication when you get into the family services areas of some of the other programs we have, early neutral evaluation, early case management. So there is possibly some.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so, Mr. Shorba, if they do this pilot project and then send a report into the state, it looks like, I think that's what the bill says, does that put any extra burden, I guess, on you folks? I don't know how many other counties are doing something similar, but my other question is if, why are we doing a pilot program and looking for best practices when there are already other counties doing this that could provide those best practices already?
Mr. Shorba.
Madam Chair, Representative Scott. First of all, I'm not here really to speak in support of the proposal. It did come before our Judicial Council as a legislative proposal last fall. The Judicial Council did not support it for two reasons. One reason was we're not really in favor of picking surcharge increases to benefit only certain parts of the court system or certain court users, so we weren't in favor of that. We were trying to look at a statewide approach to it. And it wasn't looking at sort of the big picture. It was just one pilot project. So we weren't involved in the merits of the proposal, but from a philosophical perspective opposed it at the time. So I can't really speak to the merits of the pilot. We weren't involved in developing it.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Representative Draskowski, final question?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't know if this question is for the author or who it would be, but it appears the way the bill is written that the County Board of Commissioners can initiate this, but there's not any mechanism in there for them to reverse or terminate the program. How would that be accomplished, and is that something that's missing from the bill?
Mr. Bowmaster.
Madam Chair, Representative, hopefully it'll be so successful they wouldn't want to, that they're getting enough bang for their buck that they see the value in it. Obviously, the legislature would ultimately, if it's a pilot program after the report, have to determine if it's worthy to go forward and possibly go to the 87 counties. But you point out a point to it is locally imposed. I mean, the county board would be the ultimate authority to decide whether to institute that, which I think gives local control to them to say, yeah, we want to try this or we don't. Rice County, I think, has found a value in the services. Part of the decoupling of our counties and our courts have left us sometimes at odds as to who should be funding what. And this is probably one of those services that it's a benefit to the Rice County citizens from we have good resolutions where we have both sides saying, I was treated fairly. We came to a resolution that we both felt we could live with. That's all good for Rice County citizens. But some of the actual financial benefits of decreasing caseloads go to the courts, and that's a state funded. So some of our local partners feel like they're funding to keep the caseload down for the state. And that has been something that, you know, we've fought as a mediation center to try to say it's a win-win for both the courts and for our local citizens. We should fund it locally as well. And, you know, as budgets get tight, it's easier for them to say no to us.
And members, I just wanted to clarify that on page 2, line 2.1, it does have an expiration of June 30th of 2017. And with that, thank you, Representative Bly. The chair is going to lay over House File 873 for possible inclusion. Thank you, Representative Bly.
Thank you.
And Representative Hillstrom moves House File 744 for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Members, House File 744 is a bill that would give the court the authority to impose a bail bond reinstatement fee. Many of you know that when a defendant is arrested and posts bail, the bail bonds company is the one who typically posts the bail. What many of you don't know is if the defendant fails to appear and the bond is forfeited, that in fact that bail bond company comes back in and asks for the bond to be reinstated and discharged and be given the money back, even if the defendant failed to appear. The state does not keep all of that money. With all of the other things that go on in the court, the state has a motion fee or a filing fee. And what's happening now is that these motions are made, the bond is reinstated and discharged, the bonding company gets the bond back. The court is currently imposing a $100 fee, but the state is not getting any portion of that money. And in fact, it really needs to have the ability to reinstate those bonds and get those back to the bonding company to keep the system working. But I believe that it's appropriate for the state to get a portion of that revenue. And the bonding company should not just get to keep all of the money. The fiscal note on this bill shows that in 2014 it would raise $65,000 and in 2015 $194,000, and then that would be ongoing. With that, I would stand for questions.
Are there questions from members? Representative Cornish.
Madam Chair, what are you going to do with the bill?
Representative Cornish, we're going to talk about that this afternoon.
Okay. Sounds good.
Representative Lesch.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Hilster, did you talk to any of the bail bond companies?
Representative Hillstrom.
No, Representative Lesch, I have not spoken to the bail bond companies. However, I have appeared in court on the other side of bail bond companies when they are asking to have their bail bond reinstated. Quite frequently, they even fight the $100 fee that they currently have to pay. So I can't imagine that they would be for this.
Representative Lesch.
Madam Chair, Representative Hillstrom, congratulations on your
future. Are there any other questions from members? Any further discussion? Is there anyone in the audience that would like to be heard on the bill? Seeing none, House File 744 is laid over. And Madam Chair?
Thank you, members. So if the DFL, what room are we going to meet in? The DFL members are going to meet in 546 immediately upon adjournment. And then what time are we meeting?
3:20.
At 3:20 in?
In 300 North.
In 300 North with GOP members. That's it.
We are adjourned.